Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Eamon Ryan is here now, Minister for Transport, Environment, Climate and Communications, outgoing Green Party leader and TD for Dublin Bay South. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire.
Thanks for being with us this morning. So now we have confirmed Pippa Hackett and Roderick O'Gorman putting their names forward to replace you. Who would you like to see leading the Green Party?
I'd be completely and utterly neutral in that. Either or any other candidate would be, I'm sure, would be able to do the job well. We have a tradition in our party that if you're a leader, you don't really intervene in elections, be that for Dublin Bay South, where we'll have to select a candidate instead of myself, or the leadership. I'd be very happy with either of those, or indeed, let's see if anyone else puts themselves forward.
But I suppose there is an issue here in relation to your own position, because you have said that you're going to carry on as minister, right? But if you are in that position as Green Party leader, the relationship between yourself as party leader and the other coalition party leaders is key. So will there be a question mark around whether you would have to give up your position at cabinet in order to allow the new leader to have that relationship with the leaders of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil?
That'll be a matter for the new leader, as I said yesterday. One thing I'd say, this government has worked well. Now, we've had our differences. It's not easy. Don't always agree. But you can come to consensus if you do treat each other with respect. And I think Catherine, Roderick and Pippa would have seen that in cabinet, and they would have seen how they work. So I don't think that'll be a problem. I think we had a good discussion at I brought it up at cabinet yesterday. And the morale or the kind of the culture in that cabinet is important and strong. And it's not any one individual. It is a collective approach.
But do you think that the Green Party leader needs to have that senior cabinet role in order to maintain that relationship?
I mean, I think that's a matter for the members of the Green Party. But the role of the leader is a strange one. A, you've got to lead the party, but also in government, you do have a role in government. You do meet with your other leaders, and collectively, the three of you and your chiefs of staff come together every week on a Monday night. And that is important, that you have the ability to, in confidence, discuss all the issues coming up that week. So, our members will decide that. And
But can you attend that pre-cabinet meeting as coalition party leader and not then have a senior role in cabinet the next day?
I think that would be very difficult.
Right.
I think there is obviously a real advantage, because the parties, the way the coalition works is all three parties meet, and through your teams you agree the cabinet agendas, or indeed it's cabinet subcommittees. You typically meet maybe two or three, four times a week in different meetings, not just the cabinet. So yes, being involved in that is central to what we do.
So this is all likely to have implications for your cabinet position?
Well, we'll see. And I'd be happy, as I said, to fulfil whatever role that the new leader assigns me. And I'm going to continue working right to the end. I'm flat out today now in a whole series of meetings. So for me, the work won't stop. Mm-hmm. But the exact role, that'll be for the next 3 weeks, I'll be running the two departments. And then it'll be up to the leader after that in discussion with our coalition colleagues.
What do you think now is of primary concern for the Green Party? Is it this pushback against the narrative, the anti-rural narrative, or is it winning seats in the next general election?
It's serving the people by steering the country in a greener direction. It's delivering practical changes that improve people's quality of life as we address the ecological crisis we face, and bringing social justice in the transition. That's our goal. That's our reason for being there, is to serve the people and to deliver a safer, more prosperous future. And that's the only metric.
Now, you said before the election that you wouldn't go based on, I read it in the Irish Independent, an interview, you said that you wouldn't base your decision, any decision to go on those results. So what changed?
Well, I've been thinking for several months that it was time to step down as leader. And more than anything else, I knew that I wouldn't be running in the next general election. And I had to announce that sufficient time in advance, not just so we could have a new party leader, but also we would have a candidate in Dublin Bay South. I'm not the only, I think, I don't know how many, is it about 15 plus TDs in the current Dáil have said the same. And similarly, had to signal that in advance, so you let your own party know. And the reason for that is varied, but primarily is I can't continue working 5 days a week, 7 days, 6 days a week, 24 hours each day. I kind of I have other family commitments that I have to serve.
Yeah, you mentioned that yesterday in your speech after the cabinet meeting. But would your decision have been different if the party had managed to hold on to one or the two of those seats at European level?
No. I'd started talking to my colleagues several months ago, well in advance of the election, saying that I was looking to do this. And the timing was, to be honest, you could have looked at various different times, but I felt it was better to do it after the local and European elections. There's a natural break in the political cycle.
So surely then we should have an orderly transition to the next leader rather than this contest that we have this morning.
I think the contest is good. I mean, I think that's healthy democracy. It's a chance to air different people to air their views. And so I don't think, I mean, that won't take long. It won't interrupt government. Everyone is continuing to working flat out in what they do. But I think that's a healthy part of any party.
Philip Ryan said there he thinks it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to be Roderick O'Gorman, that it's a bit of a false contest.
I don't know about that. I'm not sure how you can judge the electorate in this case, which would be the members of our party.
Okay. You mentioned the toxicity of politics, the personal attacks on you and your family. Did that inform your decision?
No. I mentioned it because it's part of a reality. All politicians will, you know, you've heard this, Claire, and you've seen it yourself. You know, if you're a public figure online, you get a lot of abuse. One message, though, but I think it's important. I hope it doesn't dissuade anyone thinking of joining a political party or getting involved in politics, because while it's there and it is an issue and we do have to recognise it and try and reduce it, it's not the overwhelming day-to-day experience of being involved in politics. You talk to most candidates involved in the recent local and European elections, all of whom, most of whom were out door-to-door, which is the ultimate test because you're meeting people. Mm-hmm. That's not the experience. What you see in those comment sections on social media is not mirrored in the real world. And I think that's important. I think it's important that we don't dissuade people from going into politics by depicting it as, you know, nothing but a really hostile environment. It is online, and that is an issue, but it's not the predominant sense that you would have if you're involved in politics. It is an honourable profession to serve the public and to do your best in that. And most politics in this country is done in a respectful way between parties.
But you had a particular experience, and that was really, I suppose, personified by the relationship with Michael O'Leary and the attacks on you. It became very personal. He called you a dunce. He called you an idiot. He said you were incompetent. Then when you made your announcement yesterday, I'm sure you saw this, the airline published that picture of you appearing to be asleep in the convention centre. Do you think you could have handled that relationship differently to avoid that happening?
No, I would defend my approach, but to be honest, I didn't respond to it. I've never made a personal comment about Michael O'Leary or Ryanair, and I think it doesn't reflect well on them if that's what the way they want to go. Let them speak for themselves. And I think my mind, that's not something I would follow or try and get engaged with.
Did it affect you?
I've been a subject of quite a bit of attack for quite a long time. I remember the very first time I ran for office back in 96, I think it was 97, I ran for the Shannon. And I remember about page 90 in some newspaper, there was one tiny comment about me, and I hardly slept for a week afterwards because I thought it was unfair. 30 years later, it doesn't really upset me. Occasionally it gets very personal or very maybe about your family, then you'd be really upset. But no, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I have more important things to get on with. Yeah. And if you spent your time worrying about that, you wouldn't do your work.
You were here with me in the studio the Sunday night after the recent elections, which feels like a long time ago now, but it wasn't. And you mentioned that your candidates had been attacked from within the coalition. Did you expect Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil to do more to stand up for the Greens at that point?
I think that didn't serve Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, because the agenda we're delivering is important for our country. And they recognise that. Micheál and Simon, the Taoiseach and Tánaiste, to recognise that. And in a sense, what I'm not concerned about taxing us as a party, what I'm concerned is if that sets a narrative that we as a country are not able or don't want to make this change. We do need to make it. And it is at a scale and speed that is beyond compare. If you allow your political party to kind of go down that cul-de-sac, as I see it, oh, that this is not good, this is going to cost us, or this is anti the communities in whatever way, I think in the long run, that will be not serving the Irish people, and political parties who take that route will be going to a dead end.
But all those rules go out the window at election time, you know, and you could argue that it served those parties electorally to allow that to happen.
It may have, but I don't think in the long run it does serve them. And I don't think, certainly doesn't think it serves the Irish people. And I don't think it reflects where the Irish people are at.
So could Micheál Martin have done more, say, to support the Greens in that election campaign?
No, his job is to get Fianna Fáil people elected. I did say to him, both himself and the Taoiseach, that I thought it was wrong, that I thought it was not good in terms of coalition government when you're subject to, or when you're kind of out there baldly attacking and accurately attacking, like complete and utter things that aren't true, things that are misleading the public. I said to them very directly that I don't believe that serves Irish politics.
But they didn't do anything about it. You might have said it to them, but what did they do?
Well, I'm sure in their own way, they will reflect and their parties will have to think, well, what position are we taking? Are we really going down the road of delaying action on climate change and not delivering the kind of restoration of nature? I think the Irish people want that. I think they're understandably concerned about, well, how exactly, what's my role, or how do we do it, or is it going to cost me? We have to give real assurance on that. But climate delayed is climate denied, and that will not be serving the Irish people.
Because mm-hmm. what we hear now, of course, is Fianna Fáil want to dump the Greens, cozying up to Labour. Is that happening?
I don't see that. I think that was one newspaper headline. I don't expect that. Certainly in my own discussions with Taoiseach an Tánaiste or with my cabinet party colleagues, I don't see that as the strategy within Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael.
Just on your own future, losing our seats in Europe, I remember when our count was going on for a long time, the European Greens were really looking here and hoping that the seats would be retained. Losing those two seats, does it impact your standing in Europe? As we know, you were lead negotiator for the EU on a number of occasions, including the last two COP events.
My colleagues in Europe were really keen to get Grace and Ciarán back, because Ciarán was one of the leading parliamentarians in the last parliament, delivering really important laws in terms of how we improve our buildings. Similarly, Grace was central to environmental protection in the last parliament. So yes, they wanted those experienced parliamentarians back. But this Monday, I was in Luxembourg at the European Council, and we did have a vital role and a central role in bringing our colleagues together in Europe to bring the nature restoration law back. I think our standing in the European Union is as strong as ever. Mm-hmm. We've actually had a particular role, particularly in climate negotiations and in the nature restoration law. And I think we'll continue to work with our colleagues.
But the Greens overall have taken a wallop in Europe.
Well, there was two aspects of that. Where we are in the northwest of Europe, yes, we had a poor result. But in eastern and southern Europe, 12 of the countries, we grew significantly. And we actually came back with more MEPs than we thought we would. What would be interesting now is, does the new parliament form a majority, which is the EPP, that's the Fine Gael party, Renew, which is the Fianna Fáil, and Social Democrats, which is Labour? All three of those are expected to join with Ursula von der Leyen, but they don't have a large majority. They only have about a 30-seat majority. And in the European Parliament, that isn't really enough to guarantee you to get your policies through. So the question is, which way will they go? Will they look to the Greens and keep going with the Green New Deal? Or will they look to the further right?
Yeah.
And my sense is that there will be a broader coalition which supports the Green New Deal, which sees Europe restoring its competitiveness and its security by going green. That's, in my mind, that's how it's going to go. Mm-hmm. And our European colleagues are going to be centrally involved, I expect.
Now, there's a role there in the shape of the EU commissioner. Have you expressed an interest in it? I know it's Micheál Martin's in his gift now as to who gets it.
No, we negotiated a really strong programme for government, and what my European colleagues described as the greenest of the programmes for governments that they had seen. As part of those negotiations back 4 years ago, it's hard to think how you look forward in this way, but we did. And it was agreed that Fianna Fáil would be in the position to nominate the commissioner. Mm-hmm. They will do that. It has to be done relatively quickly because we do...
But have you suggested to him that it could be you?
No.
You're not interested in
no.
it? What are you going to do?
I'm going to spend some more time at home is with first things, because I do have that responsibility. I'll continue to working in environmental and climate activism, but I'll do it in a way which allows that more balanced approach.
Okay. Eamon Ryan, thank you very much for coming in, and we wish you well. That's Eamon Ryan, the outgoing leader of the Green Party. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.